Well, welcome, man. It's great to have you here with us today. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3. And today, here's what we're doing. We are in a series that we started a couple weeks ago talking about playing with fire. And every week we're talking about something that can burn us, something that can hurt us. And so in person and all those that are online right now, we're going to be talking today about negative thoughts, things that come into our mind that we hold on to, that we believe, and it just tears us down. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment. Maybe you're looking through a magazine, maybe it's something on TV, or maybe you're at the mall somewhere, and you know, if you're a guy and you see here comes another guy at the mall coming around the corner, and this guy is just buff. He's just, I mean, he's got muscles everywhere, his ears. I mean, everything's just like crazy, you know. And then all of a sudden, what do? We go like this and kind of walk around, right? Trying to look like that we're that way too, because we know that we really aren't. Ladies, sometimes you're going to see that girl that maybe at the mall that's in doubt, and it wasn't from God, it was from the surgeon. And you're looking at that and you're like, oh my gosh, I wish I could be like that. And they said, well, here you can. Here's my surgeon, you know. but that's what happens, and we look at people how they are and we think, man, I wish I could be just like that. And we think negative about ourselves. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand, but I just want you to be honest inside, answer this question. Are you negative about yourself? Not all the time, but are you negative about certain things in your life? And you could probably, if you're thinking about it, you could probably actually think about what that thing is that you are negative about yourself. I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too outgoing, I'm an introvert. All these different things we have. It kind of reminded me of this cartoon I came across with. It's a battery that's going to a counselor, and the battery is saying, I've been having a lot of negative thoughts. Now, some of you don't get it, but let me just kind of help you. A battery has a negative side and a positive side, just like you. You have a negative side and you have a positive side. But which side are you usually dealing with? I'm going to tell you, most human beings deal with the negative side, the negative issues that they have in their life. We think, if we could only have this type of body, if we could only buy, you know, brand names, if I could only do this, if I could only do that, if I could just play football better, all this stuff, everything, if I could only. But I can't. And why? Because we're negative on ourselves. We don't think we could ever do anything like that. And God comes along. And God has said, no, you're good enough. And we come to church and we go, okay, yeah. In church, I heard that God says, I'm good enough. Okay, but before you hit the driveway out here, you forgot about that. And your thoughts come back to you, your negative thoughts, the things that just push you down and hold you there. And it's a struggle, and you know it is because you've been dealing with it for so long. And things can happen when we have negative thoughts, right? I mean, some people will turn to alcohol. Some people will turn to drugs. Some people will turn to suicide because of negative thinking. So this is a big deal. Where does this come from? Scripture tells us where it comes from. Whether you are a follower of Jesus Christ or whether you are not, it doesn't really matter. The reality is either one, if you're a follower of Christ or not a follower of Christ, you both have the same problem. That same problem is you have an enemy called Satan that Scripture tells us wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. Whether you know God or not, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. That's where the negative thoughts come from. We're listening to the wrong person. We're listening to the enemy. And God is going, no, listen to me. I know how I created you. I know how I wanted you to be. You're good enough. You are just what I wanted. But somewhere, we just don't believe it. I mean, look at Hollywood. People in Hollywood are only as good as their last movie that they made. If it was a skunk, it was a horrible movie, you're probably not going to see them again, or not for a while. Or you're going to see them in like B movies where they're getting very little money. All of a sudden, it just takes away from how they feel, because everything in Hollywood is, am I good enough? And forget Hollywood. That's the way we are in life. We think the same thing. Am I good enough? Am I a good enough father? Am I a good enough mother? Am I a good enough son or daughter? Am I good enough at school? Am I good enough at my work? Am I good at, fill in the blank. And we look at that and we would want to say yes, but we know other people that are just knocking the ball out of the park and are going, I want to be like them. And we're negative. And it just tears us down. And God has something to say about this. God has something to actually say about this. In fact, let me give you a quote. Jim Carrey, the actor. Most of you probably know about Jim Carrey. This is what Jim Carrey says. I wish everyone could experience being rich and famous so they'd see it wasn't the answer to anything. Interesting. Most people want to be rich and famous. And he's going, it doesn't answer anything. It doesn't help life. This is somebody finally being serious with us. This is what he believes, and he should know because he's in that industry. This is what he does. Let me give you a verse. This verse is this, is Ephesians 4. It says this, you must not live like the people who do not believe in God. They, say it with me, they what? Do not think clearly. Now hold the verse here a second. We are not to be like the people who don't believe in God. In other words, what this verse is saying is, if we believe in God, God will help us to think clearly. Are you allowing God to change your thoughts? Are you allowing God to be able to think clearly? Are you allowing God to do this? Or are you listening to the wrong person? Whether you're a follower of Jesus Christ or not, you have the same enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. And boy, is he doing a good job. But God speaks into us that we're good enough, that he loves us. God tells us that we are valuable. We are valuable to him. So, how do we stop playing with negative thoughts? How do we stop playing with negative thoughts? Well, during this week as I was working on the message, there's five things that I've come up with. Now, maybe all five are going to be like, oh, for you, that'd be great. Some of you might just be one or two, but whatever it is, that's fine. But let me give you these five things to help all of us that struggle with negative thoughts. Number one is this. You were made in God's image. You were made in God's image. Listen, whether you're in person today or you're online today, whether you are a follower of Jesus Christ or you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, doesn't matter. You were still made in God's image. God created you and me in his image. Why? Because he wanted to show that you're my kids. I'm your father. We're together. That's valuable. That's valuable. God made you in the image of himself. That's just a crazy thing. To show how valuable and how special we are to God. To which we go, I don't feel like I'm special to God. God says, just wait. You are so special. You were so special. And you still are so special. That I sent my son Jesus to die for you. Oh yeah, he died for everybody else on the planet. But he died specifically for you. Because you are special. You are valuable. To the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just stop and think about that. That's just amazing. Just amazing. It's all about God. Our identification with God. In fact, let me give you a story. I came across this story a few years ago, but I'm going to share it with you today. True story, guy. A guy went on a vacation over to Paris, and while he was over there, he went into a little trinket place, and he got a he got a necklace there for a few hundred bucks. So he's getting ready to fly back home to the U.S., and they land in New York for customs. And he has to declare that he's brought something into the country, and it was this necklace. And so they looked at it, and they said, you have to pay $2,000 to get this thing in. The guy said, I just paid a few hundred dollars to buy it. What in the world's going on? He paid the money, though. Then when he got home, he went to a jeweler and said, can you look at this thing that I got over in Paris for a few hundred bucks? And the jeweler, you know, gets out one of those glasses and kind of looks in, and immediately he puts it down and says, I'll give you $25,000 for that. He's going, $25,000? He goes, no thanks. So he gets his necklace back. He goes to another jeweler, does the exact same thing. Hey, can you take a look at this and see if there's anything special about this? And the guy looks under it with that glass, and he goes, I'll give you $35,000 for it right now. And he goes, I'm not going to sell it. But he said, I do not understand. I do not understand what is so important about this necklace. And here's what the guy says. He says, take this piece of glass and look in that, and you'll see an inscription. And in the inscription, it says this, from Napoleon Bonaparte to Josephine. So this little necklace is only important because of its identity with somebody famous. Guess what? Your identity is with somebody more famous than that guy. Your identity is with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of Almighty, that created you and made you just the way you are, whether you like it or not. He created you, and you're valuable to him because of that. Just think about that. Your value is based on your identification to God. That is what it's based on. Not on how much money you have, not how good you are playing ball or something. Your value is based on your identification to God. Let me give you a verse here real quick. It says this, what's the price of two or three pet canaries? Some loose change. But God never overlooks a single one. And he pays even greater attention to you. Amazing. Then it goes on and says this, down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. Can you imagine? God knows the hairs on your head. Pastor Allen, our music pastor, that's probably not too much anymore, but God still knows them, those three or four numbers. Now, so I don't be intimidated by all this bully talk. You're worth more than a million canaries. God is saying, you are so valuable to me. I have created you just the way you are. And we get upset at God because we see amazing gifts and abilities in other people. And we go, I want to be like that person. I want to be like him. I want to be like her. And God's going, I made you just the way I wanted you to. Number two, quit comparing yourself to others. This is something we all struggle with, right? We need to quit comparing ourselves to others. And let me give you an example. This is something that I've in the past kind of dealt with. I would look around and go, God, there are big churches around the country with big pastors that are writing books and all this kind of stuff, and they're going to conferences and everything. God, why don't I have that gift? Why can't I do this? Why? And I realize at some point, listen, what I am saying to God is, God, you didn't make me right. You didn't give me the gifts that I wanted. You gave me the wrong gifts, God. And I think God's going, now wait a minute, so Mark, hold on, time out. So Mark, you are telling me, God, you're telling me that I made a mistake. Is that what you're saying? Well, I don't want to really say it that way, but yeah, God, you messed up, you screwed up. I mean, I want what those other people have. God's going, Mark, I've given you the gifts that you have, and I put you in the place that I want you, because this is the place that you need to be at with your gifts and everything. This is where I want you. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. Oh, but I want to do this or that. And God's going, other people are doing this and that. You're doing this. This is what God's called you to do. Can I just remind us of something? God doesn't make mistakes. Do you know that? Right now, some of you are fighting in your mind. Well, he made a mistake on me. No, he didn't make a mistake on you. God doesn't make mistakes. Let's just say that real quick. God doesn't make mistakes. Do you believe that? See, God is perfect. God puts us where he wants us to do what he wants us to do. That's what he does. He's the one that does all of these things. But for some reason, we just want to keep comparing to other people. What are some things you can compare yourself with others? What are some things that you compare yourself with others? What is it? It could be anything. It could be what they wear, how they look, how they smell, how they talk, how they don't talk. I mean, all these, there's so many different things. Can I tell you, look at what King David said. King David in scripture says this, I praise you because you made me, he's talking to God, I praise you, God, because you made me an amazing and wonderful way. Now just hold this here for a second. Do you believe, listen, online, in person, East Venue, West Venue, do you believe that God made you, forget the people around you, do you believe that God made you amazing and wonderful way? Do you believe that? If you do not believe that, then you are saying God messed up. Then you're saying God made a mistake. And I'm going to tell you, God doesn't make mistakes. God created you in an amazing and wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful, he says. I know this very well. See, here's the problem. Here's the thing we got to do. We need to get rid of the ideal person. We got to get rid of this ideal person in our head. We see somebody and we go, I want to emulate that. I want to be like this person. And it becomes this ideal person in our mind, and we try to do everything we can to be that person. You know the person we need to emulate? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one that we are to emulate. But you know what we honestly want to do? We want to emulate other people. Musicians, actors, people on social media. We love to do that. I mean, let's just pick one of this. Taylor Swift. Did you know we already got a Taylor Swift? We don't need a second and a third Taylor Swift. We've got one. But we need one of you. And we need one of you. And we need one of you. Not to be somebody else. We need you to be you. God has created you the way that he wants you to be created. He loves you and he doesn't make mistakes, but yet the enemy comes along and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and he begins to doubt. He goes, did God make you right? You know, God could have done this or that and made you a whole lot better. That, you know, if I was God, I would do that. I mean, that's basically what Satan does. And all of a sudden you begin to listening to the doubts and you begin to believe the doubts and go, yeah, maybe God did make a mistake. Maybe God should have done something better. Don't listen to the negative. Don't listen to the enemy. Listen to God, what God is saying to each and every one of us. And let me give you something else. I'll put it up here on the screen. Stop allowing the media to control you. When I talk about media, I'm talking about different kinds. The media and social media. Let me tell you, and I'm going to step on some toes, and I don't care because that's what they're there for, right? That's what they're good for. So many people, my generation and the generation behind me, are so all over the place in social media, and that's fine. But where it's not fine is where everything has to be amazing. And you are putting stuff on social media all the time. Oh, look at this coffee. This is the best coffee I've ever had. Oh, look at this. Look at this donut. Best donut ever. Oh, look at me. I'm pumping gas. Best gas ever. I mean, so all this stuff. No! Your life isn't that exciting. And you know it. And all those other people's lives aren't exciting either. But everybody's putting on this and I have got the best day ever. Look at all these cool things I'm doing. To which we feel like, well, I gotta stand up and do the same thing to show that I'm cool and that I got a lot of stuff going on. And everybody is just trying to pose. Knock it off. I know that you're not going to stop it. Right now, you're probably taking a picture of me right now and putting it on social media. Oh, the greatest thing ever. I mean, that's fine. But let's be honest. What happened to honesty? What happened about putting a social media thing out there like, today was a crappy day. It was a tough day today. Had a struggle. All of a sudden, you're going to probably have people come back to you and go, man, sorry about that. After Christians, man, I'll be praying for you. All of a sudden, it's like more of a kind of real thing. But instead, where everything is beautiful and rainbows and unicorns and all this stuff, and it's like, it isn't. It isn't. This world is a sinful, fallen, broken world. So it can't be all beautiful every time, all the time, just for you. There is a struggle, and we have to admit it, and we have to deal with those things. Let me give you a verse. In Romans 12, it says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Is one of the patterns of this world what we just talked about? How we do social media? Do not conform any longer to that pattern of the world, but be transformed by the, say it with me, by what? The renewing of your mind. As we renew our mind, woo, we change our life. As we renew our mind, allow God's Holy Spirit, God speaking to us, what God says to us, all of a sudden, God speaking into us, this will renew our mind. Not doing what the world is doing, but doing what God is saying, what God wants. That's what we are to do. Number three, let me give you the third one. Third one, surround yourself with positive people. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud, but inside. Do you have people in your life that are positive? They're positive people. They're not pushing you down to make themselves feel better. They speak positivity to you. Do you have people? At least one. Do you have at least one? If so, think of that person. Do you have people that are positive? Now, let me ask it a different way. Are you a positive person to somebody else? Are you a positive person to somebody else? Or are you like probably 95% of human beings want to tear others down to make themselves feel better? And I'm going to tell you, whenever you tear somebody down, you really don't feel better. Because you know that's wrong. You know that that idiots do that. You would never do that. You see, we got to be the positive. And we need people that would be positive in our lives. Do you have people like that? Are you one of them for somebody else? Is that something that you are able to do? We need positive people. Let me give you a verse. It says this, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Do you have bad company in your life? Do you have some bad company that is corrupting your carriage? Or let me put it the other way. Are you bad company to other people that are having them to corrupt their character? Is that you? Let me give you a story. This is a story you've probably heard before. But I'm the CRO, I'm the chief reminding officer, so I'm going to bring it up again. So, there was two farmers that their farms butted up to each other. So they would always kind of go to the fence and talk over the fence with each other. And one was positive and one was negative. And the positive farmer said, hey, it looks like it's going to rain. That's going to be good for our crops. And the negative farmer goes, yeah, it's probably going to flood everything and kill them, though. Okay. Next day, the sun came out. And the positive farmer says, oh, man, that's good. Now the sun's out, and it's going to dry up everything, and our plants will start growing. And the negative farmer says, yeah, I'll probably just scorch our plants to death. It's like, gee whiz. And so the positive farmer thought, I got to do something to help him. I mean, he's always looking on the negative side. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to ask him to go duck hunting in my boat. And we're going to go out there. And I'm going to take my dog who's got this really cool trick. And so they went out there the next day to shoot some ducks. And they got a couple ducks. And they fell into the lake. And the dog jumped out and ran on top of the water. and got the ducks and ran back to the boat and jumped in, and he was dry as a bone except for the bottom of his feet. And the positive farmer says, "Man, what do you think about that?" And the negative farmer says, "Yeah, your dog doesn't swim." And there are people like that, and you know it, right? That no matter what it is, they can make anything negative. Everything's negative. Or is that you? Are you the one that's making everything negative? You see, this is what we need to have positive people in our life, and we need to be positive people in people's lives. That is why one of the things we are so big on is small groups. Because when you get in a small group, here's what happens. When you get in a small group, this is probably the only time maybe in your whole week where you get a little bit of positivity from other people in your group, where they're encouraging you. You can do this. You can make it. And all of a sudden you're encouraging them and they're encouraging you. This is why we do small groups, because we need encouragement somewhere. We need positivity somewhere. And we usually don't get it out in the world, but we get it through Christ followers. See, that's why we do that. Let me give you number four. Number four, prayer is the key for overcoming negative thoughts. Prayer is the key for overcoming negative thoughts. Now, of these five, number four is one of my favorites, because I put this one in here because this is what I have found out. This is what I have found out, because there is a verse when we pray with thanksgiving, and I want to give you that verse right now. It talks about this in Philippians 4. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with what? Thanksgiving, present your request to God." Now, here, when we pray to God and we do it with thanksgiving, a few years ago, I was reading, I've read this so many times, but a few years ago when I read it, I thought, it jumped off the page. And all of a sudden, I'm realizing, when I pray, I need to pray with thanksgiving, thanking God for what he has done. God, thank you for allowing me to be one of the C3 pastors. Thank you for the gifts and abilities that you gave me. Lord, thank you that a year ago, we went down, and me and my family, and we sponsored a little girl named Gloria through Compassion International, and we went and saw her home, and she has a dirt floor. She has no electricity. She has no running water. There's big gaps in the wood so that the wind can come in. But Lord, thank you that we can support her and help her family. Thank you that my family has a roof over our head. Thank you, God, that we have a bed to sleep in. Thank you, God, that we have food. Thank you that we have clean water. Thank you that we have electricity. Thank you that we have a car to get here and there. Thank you, God, for our health and our family, and on and on and on. And all of a sudden, what's happened as I've been doing this last few years, I'm beginning to see the positives, not the negatives. Because we're praying to God and thanking him and daily thanking him for specific things. We think, oh, my life's just terrible. It's just horrible. But then when you stop and like start writing down the things that God has blessed you, your life isn't that bad. Your life has some purpose. Your life is something where God can just do amazing things, and he's given you amazing things. But we just take it for granted. When we stop and we pray and we thank God for these things, all of a sudden the negative runs away and the positive comes. And it will help us as we do that. See, the more I pray with thanksgiving, the more I overcome negative thoughts. And I'm going to guess that will work for you too. Number five, as we wrap up. Fifth one is this. The greatest reason why you can stop negative thinking is because of Jesus. The greatest reason why you can stop negative thinking is because of Jesus. In fact, let me give you a verse. It says in Ephesians 2, "Though you once were far from God, now you have been brought near to him because," what? Because of what? Because of the blood of Christ. Because Jesus thought you were worth dying for. Amazing. Jesus thought I was worth dying for. amazing. Because of God, God is saying, you are worth it. You are valuable to me. I created you just the way you are, not by mistake, but purpose. Because I'm going to get glory from your life. I forget the guy's name. There's a guy that was born with no arms and legs, literally. I cannot remember his name. I think he's from Australia. But he's just from here up. And do you know what he does? He goes around the world and speaking to people in churches and outside of churches, giving glory to God. And you look at this, go, the guy's got no legs and arms. And God's going, exactly. I made him just the way I wanted to. Because through what this guy's living with, God is getting glory. Do you think God can maybe get glory from you with your two hands and your two legs? God doesn't make mistakes. God makes people that he loves. Love so much that he died for. That is why you are valuable. It's because God died for you. He loves you. You are his son. You are his daughter. You see, here's the thing. We spend a lot of time remembering our failures. We do. We spend a lot of time remembering our failures. But Jesus, what does he do? Jesus spent a lot of love saying that we can forget. We hold on to those things that we've done in the past that were so wrong and so stupid and just failures, and we just keep bringing them up. Scripture actually says this. Scripture actually says that God will take our sins, our struggles, our things, and he'll push them down deep in the sea to be no more thinking about, where God will put them in the deepest, darkest sea and forget about it. God somehow can choose to forget. But we get out our little dinghy boat and we go over there and we're fishing, trying to bring them back up, right? Because we can't let it go. And he said, let it go. Let your failures go. God says, I spent a lot of love. I gave my life. I died on a cross. So you can forget about it. Quit trying to bring it back up. Let it go. Sounds like a Disney song. Let's wrap up. I want to give you 2 points to ponder. First point to ponder is this. What negative thoughts have you been dealing with? Be honest. Have you shared your negative thoughts with somebody you trust? That's important. Question two is this. God made you in his image, and Jesus thought you were worth dying for. How does knowing this help your negative thoughts? Think about that on the way home today. Maybe if you're coming with family or something, maybe ask those questions and see what God's going to do to show that you are valuable just as you are. Let's pray. So, Father, we pause right now, and we thank you that you are a good, good Father. That's who you are. And we love you, and we know that you love us. You created us in your image. You created us and placed us exactly where we are and what we are to do. And Lord, you gave us a mission. Our mission is to help other people to come to know you. So Lord, would you help us to be positive people in other people's lives? Would you help us to speak people and raise them up, not tear them down? And Father, I thank you so much that that's what you always do for us. You always build us up. You don't tear us down. You build us up. And I'm so thankful for that. So Lord, right now, for those that are in the venues here in person, for those that are online, Lord, if we are not having a relationship with you now, or we have, but we've kind of walked away from it. Father, we pause right now. We bow our heart and we say, dear God, forgive me. I need you. I need you. I need you. Lord, I've been blaming you, that thought that you made me a mistake and all this stuff, but Lord, I'm hearing today that I am valuable to you and that you love me just the way I am, and you made me this way for a reason. So God, I thank you for that. So Lord, would you forgive me? Would you come into my life? Would you allow me to follow you? And Lord, you always say yes to that instantly. If any prayer you're going to say yes right away, that's the prayer. And we say thank you for those that are making that decision right now. We celebrate that every week. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray.